are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, December 17th, and a win. Finally, Mason, give it to him one time.
Detroit basketball!
Feels good to finally need Mason's services, but this is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen, and thanks for spreading the word as well. Today, we're going to break down the big win against the Boston Celtics on Saturday night. That's why we needed Mason to join us here for the Detroit basketball little soundbite. We're also going to talk about the new starting lineup and the return of Reggie Bullock from injury. Two good things for the Pistons. We're also going to look ahead to Monday's game tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. But by the way, give me a follow on Twitter at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Creeping up towards 3,000. We appreciate 2,900 and something of you guys and all your following. And also give us a follow on the Locked On Pistons Twitter account and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons dash Matt Shook. But the Pistons get the win against the Boston Celtics on Saturday night, 113-104. If you know anything about me from listening to the podcast before, you know how I feel about being the Boston Celtics. But anyway, a nice crowd at Little Caesars Arena snapped a Pistons six-game losing streak that dragged on a little bit too much for our own liking here in the Motor City. Pistons are now 14-13, the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, 2.5 games inside the playoffs, but maybe now two as I'm taping this as you listen, because I'm taping this before the Miami game ends on Sunday night. They're the ninth seed in the Eastern Conference right now. Blake Griffin had 27 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists on Saturday night. Andre Drummond, 19 points and 20 rebounds. He was very good. Made some free throws after Brad Stevens employed the Hackadre defense, and that didn't end up working because I think he knocked down 3 out of 4 in that time after he badly missed the first one after the Hackadre. But Drummond ended up 7 of 9 from the free throw line, which is great for him. Very good for most NBA players, but especially great for Andre Drummond. The loss for the Celtics snapped their 8-game winning streak, although none of those wins came against teams that now have winning records, by the way. 15 points in his return for Reggie Bullock. He missed 5 straight games with an ankle sprain. 14 points off the bench for Langston Galloway, wearing some great shoes as well. His hot shooting and strong play continues. Maybe I should look at the splits of how Galloway does in wins compared to losses. I know he had some really strange splits earlier in the season, and that he was shooting really well on the road and really poorly at home, and also did really well in back-to-back situations and shot poorly when he had some rest. So he was bucking a lot of trends, but it seems like Langston Galloway performing a lot better, and I know he was really good on Wednesday night in Charlotte. And when he was playing well, it felt like the Pistons were going to win that game. So maybe give us some good feelings about recency bias there. But, of course, that game ended up being a loss. So wouldn't really help those splits that I referred to. But Jose Calderon, by the way, speaking of help, was a +9 in 24 minutes, 5 points, 8 assists, and 2 turnovers. You think about guys like Jose Calderon, your third-string point guard, who's 37 years old, and maybe just trying to weather the tide a little bit and play even out with some other teams at best-case scenario. But Jose Calderon's just been very good lately before he fouled out in the game. And as I mentioned on Twitter, it brings me joy to see Jose Calderon upset on the court and arguing at the refs. And I don't know, he's a Spanish dude, so obviously the Spanish soccer players come to mind when they're arguing calls, and he just seems like he's got the mannerisms of what you would consider a soccer player out there. So when he's out there and upset and arguing with officials, it's always something that I laugh at inside. Not to get pleasure out of Jose's pain on the court, but it seems like Jose, by the way, the Spaniard, has supplanted Reggie Jackson as the crunch time point guard, especially as of late. Reggie did come back in after Jose was fouled out and made some free throws. It had 12 points in 24 minutes, by the way. So Reggie responded after a bit of a benching there and made some big shots for the Pistons. But Jose Calderon, he was playing till the late third quarter of the game against Charlotte, up until there was about 4 minutes left, and they bring back Reggie Jackson, and Reggie really struggled down the stretch, along with Blake Griffin, along with all the Pistons, really, except for Andre Drummond, who made a big shot in the final minute in the game that the Pistons ended up losing. But that same rotation was kind of going the same way, with Jose Calderon playing from the end of the third quarter up until past the midway point of the fourth quarter, and that's when he did fall out and Reggie Jackson came back in. But it seemed like that Calderon might finish off the game, really, because he's playing a nice floor game. Looks pretty good in terms of the way he's moving when he has the ball, so athletic-wise. And he's never been really much of a defender anyway, so the fact that he's not good on defense isn't anything new. But it's not like Reggie Jackson or Ish Smith, when he's healthy, are playing much defense from the point guard position. So you might as well go with the guy who facilitates the offense a little bit better, who's been knocking down some mid-range jump shots, especially off the crossover lately, and is also just playing steady as he usually does. With the ball as a veteran point guard. Like I said, just two turnovers in all those minutes that he had. And it was a hot gym at LCA, as Dwayne Casey likes to say, referring to loud arenas that are tough to play in. And I was there for the Associated Press. I sometimes have to decide who was I there for, AP, Detroit News. Sometimes hard to remember, but I'll be there for the Detroit News tonight, by the way. But a fun atmosphere, nice amount of Boston fans, as you might expect, kind of a national team that gets the big following there. But just a lot to like about this game if you are a Pistons fan. Not so much if you're the Celtics, but, you know, you move on if you're the Celtics after going through a nice winning streak like they did. Kyrie Irving had 26 points to lead the way for the Celtics. I thought he was just fantastic. It's one of those players in the NBA who, and you know, not to brag, but when we're covering these games, you get the nice courtside seat. So you get a nice view of an NBA game, which is really cool. If you've never got a chance and you find a way to maybe get some of those nice tickets to see these guys playing up close, it just feels like a completely different game. Sometimes you get the vantage point of the game when you're watching at home, and it's just the vantage point that you're used to getting in basketball and just watching it on television. But when you're sitting up close, you're kind of reminded in a way that these are just, you know, guys playing basketball. It's not, I know, and maybe this is just the weird mind that I work, but When you're looking at it from the vantage point of the regular television cameras, it just feels like it's a completely different game than when you watch it and you realize that these are just guys. They happen to be a lot bigger and faster and stronger than the rest of us, but it's just like the game that we play when we're out there. So it's just a different vantage point that kind of hammers that point home around as well. And also when you're courtside, you realize just how little space there is out there with how big these guys are, how much ground they cover, and like we said, how athletic they are as well, how quickly you have to make decisions, how quickly an open shot turns into a not open shot, how decisively you have to make big decisions in terms of going up for whatever you're going to do, whether it's going up for a shot, making a decision with the ball. I mean, things are just, the margin for error is just so slim out there, and it's just something you notice when you're that close to the game. Boston, by the way, coming in on a back-to-back, so the Pistons are now 2-0 this season against teams who are in that setting of a back-to-back series. Jason Tatum had 17 points. Gordon Hayward off the bench had 6 points in 28 minutes. He looks like a shell of his former self at this point, kind of sad. Brad Stevens, the coach of the Celtics, didn't use the Detroit killer Daniel Tease enough, I thought. He only had 18 minutes of play but scored 8 points. I thought he looked pretty good when he was out there. The Pistons knocked down 10 three-pointers, not a great percentage at 10 of 30, but made enough and certainly a passable percentage on this night in particular. But this week, the Pistons, will it be another nightmare week or a great one? We will see. Who knows? It could go either way with the schedule. The Pistons host the Bucks tonight, the Central Division leaders. More about that one later. But then they're going to be at Minnesota on Wednesday, at Charlotte on Friday, and home against the Atlanta Hawks on Sunday, in a game that kind of represents the end of this really tough stretch that the Pistons have gone on. So there are brighter times ahead with the close of December schedule-wise. But up next, we're going to talk about the return of Reggie Bullock and the new starting lineup for the Pistons. Will it stick around? But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company could be mentioned right here, right now on the Locked on Pistons podcast. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males, with more education and more earning power than your traditional media audiences. Also, Detroiters at heart, for the most part. Have your company sponsor this podcast at Locked on Pistons and email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Yes, sir! A little bit later on, we'll break down what's new about the Milwaukee Bucks since we saw them last which is very recently, of course. But 810-666-1546 is the number for the Google Voice line. You can text that number. You can also call that number, which I prefer. I prefer to hear your beautiful voices out there. So call and leave a voicemail. And here's what I want to know from you guys this week. In addition to the other questions we've brought up in the past, you can go back and answer some of those. Who's your Piston outside of those great superstars, all that good stuff. Stories from the road, just things like that. But the one I want to ask this one, and I know it's completely self-serving, but what is your favorite moment from the history of the Locked On Pistons podcast? And there's a reason I'm asking this, by the way, but what's your favorite moment? Is it the Larry Brown interview that we did? So maybe some of the other interviews we did, an offbeat one like we had with Corey recently, who's been to almost all the Pistons games this season. Quick update on him, by the way. He did not go to the Philly game on the road last week. He thought about it, almost did, almost made the long drive out east, but he did not go. So that was the first one this season that Corey did not go to. He went to the first 24 games of the year. Pretty sweet for him, so congratulations to him. And salute from Pistons Nation to Corey Nikoloff for getting to the first 24 games of the season. But maybe it was that. Maybe it was something that you thought that I said was very dumb or funny or something like that. Or maybe you like the show a lot more from the Dan Feldman era. Wouldn't blame you for that. And maybe you want to bring something that he did back into the fold now or just have him on more often or something. Maybe you like Duncan Smith's short stint as host last summer. Or is there a segment that those guys did that you want to bring back? Something like that. You know, Duncan did Periscopes while he was doing the show. Do you want to watch me record the show? I'm guessing you don't, and also that's probably not happening. But what if you have ideas or favorite things that, from the last Locked On Pistons shows, let us know. The reason why I'm asking is because Wednesday is show number 500 in the history of the Locked On Pistons podcast. That's coming up Wednesday. This is 498 right now that you'll listen to. But we'll come up with a giveaway probably through social media, and we'll have some details coming up about that on Wednesday's show. But maybe you just want to wish us a happy 500th episode. You can do that too. We'll play all those. If you want to send some wishes along to the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is now my baby. I've adopted the baby from Duncan. It's a baby that got around a little bit, but we're happy that it's in my grasp now. But call and leave a voicemail. We'll play them on Wednesday's show again. That's 810-666-1546. Wish us a happy birthday or happy episode day or something. 500th episode, anyway, coming up on Wednesday. But how about the trade ridiculousness? From Friday night. Unbelievable, huh? I was home watching this one, following it on the Twitter on Friday night. Just kind of what you'd expect these days from Washington, Phoenix, and Memphis. Although I saw Chris Wallace of Memphis kind of fighting back publicly, trying to blame the other teams. I was quick on that Garth Brooks joke on Twitter, and I stand by it, by the way. I saw a couple other Garth Brooks jokes out there, easy for me to say. But I was early enough to not qualify for copying or even coming up with something that was super obvious. So I was proud of myself there. But anyway, the Pistons on Saturday night, a new starting lineup as Reggie Bullock returned. So, of course, you had Blake, Andre Drummond, and Reggie Jackson. Those guys have started every game other than Blake's one rest game last week. But then you had Luke Kennard, who was starting his second game of the year, and also Reggie Bullock recovering from injury on the wings. This was the eighth different starting lineup that the Pistons have used this season, and might be their best one. We will see going forward what they elect to do and how it works out no matter what they do. But you got your two best shooters out there on the wing and Luke Kennard and Reggie Bullock. And then still you have Langston Galloway providing some bench shooting as well. And you could sprinkle in Luke and Reggie Bullock with some of those bench units as well. In today's NBA, it's helpful to have those shooters. I love saying that. In today's NBA, it's very haughty. I feel like I'm a haughty person when I say that. In today's NBA, here's what you need. But now you got Reggie Bullock and Luke Kennard on the wings. That might be a little bit of a size issue sometimes defensively. In a perfect world, maybe a guy of Glenn Robinson III's size could be a starting wing for you, but obviously he's just not playing at that level, even when he was healthy right now. And defense in general, if you're sending Luke Kennard and Reggie Jackson out there together against some of the NBA's best players, you might have a little bit of a five-man defensive problems. And obviously, of course, we're talking about your starters who are going up against some of the best guys in the league. But however, I'll still maintain that it's more important for your guys to be able to score it than it is for the defensive units to be able to stop other teams. In today's NBA, it's an offensive league. It's a scoring league. And it's a little antithetical, I know, because we always talk about how this team needs defensive upgrades. We need to get the Detroit Pistons defensive culture back, but you got to keep up with the other teams in the league before you start working on your identity. And that's more in terms of acquiring players who have defensive mindsets or also have at least capable defensively in addition to their offense. I think that that's more of a organizational shift than maybe needs to be reflected in the five-man lineups that are out there or anything. So the Pistons, by the way, they were up 17-13 before John Lohr came in and disrupted that that flow of the defensive starters there on, or the five starters there on Saturday night. And the other thing that's important about those five starters that, that started on Saturday, it's probably the Pistons' five best players. You got Blake, you got Andre, obviously the top two. Reggie Bullock is pretty obvious as the top, the third best player right now on this team. And maybe Kennard gets there, giving Bullock some, argument as far as being the third best player on the team at some point. But and Reggie Jackson has not been playing like the fifth best player on this team right now. But we'll say that for now. We'll give him that nod as kind of his track record a little bit. But it's another thing to consider, by the way, to this lineup and also crunch time lineups is the point guard position. I think they're kind of stuck with this as it is with Ish Smith out. I think he's got at least another week. I think later this week he might get looked at, and then we'll know more. But I'm guessing another week or so after that that Ish is going to be out. But maybe right now you can already flip Jose Calderon in with the starters and the finishers and have Jackson get his minutes off the bench with the idea that maybe when Ish comes in, that maybe he ends up taking Reggie Jackson's minutes off the bench and maybe Calderon and Jackson kind of alternate some of those starting and finishing minutes going forward. I don't know, but there's interesting decisions to make at point guard when Ish Smith comes back, but we will definitely get into that down the line. But by the way, the Locked On Podcast Network, we're doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NBA Net. You get all the Locked On Podcast Network local hosts covering their NBA teams in one feed. It's amazing during games with breaking news and also to get the local perspective as well. On Instagram, Locked On NBA Net, give us a follow there. We'll give you the biggest stories in one-minute bursts on your Instagram stories queue and also longer cuts on the biggest stories in the feeds that you have on your regular Instagram feed. So make sure to follow Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and Instagram. But up next, we're going to break down what's new about the Milwaukee Bucks since we saw them last about 10 days ago or so, 2 weeks ago now. But that's next here on the Locked On Pistons Podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. And as you probably know by now, the Detroit Lions took the L in Buffalo on Sunday, ending any chances that they had of reaching the playoffs. But you can also wrap up the season and talk about the draft coming up too by still following the Locked On Lions podcast. You know host Matt Derry from Detroit Radio. He has a daily look at the Leos, our sister or brother podcast, however you want to put it. Check it out on the network, which is the number one local sports daily podcast network, and also for local interest. Check out Isaiah Hole on Locked On Wolverines, one of the more popular shows on our networks. So that shows you the reach nationally and globally of the Michigan brand name. Locked On Wolverines, of course, is the name of that show. And then the Locked On Spartans show with Will Hunter, the little show that could. So Will Hunter doing a good job with the Locked On Spartans podcast, friend of mine there. So check him out as well if you're into the Michigan State Spartans. But Giannis and the Bucks are in town tonight at Little Caesars Arena, 7 o'clock start in downtown Detroit. The Bucks come in at 19-9, 3-2 since they beat up the Pistons a couple weeks ago today in Milwaukee, losing in that five-game span to the Golden State Warriors and Indiana Pacers, so no slouches there that they had losses to, and also picked up a nice win against the Toronto Raptors and also two wins against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Chris Middleton, the former Pistons second-round draft pick, he has a sprained right finger and did not play on Friday night in the Bucks' last game. He's struggling lately, but he's also listed as probable for Monday's game, tonight's game against the Pistons. Malcolm Brogdon, also, by the way, a former Rookie of the Year, did not play on Friday because of a hamstring injury, but he is also listed as probable for tonight's game against the Detroit Pistons. But Vegas says that there is no line because of the injuries, mostly the Middleton one, I presume, is the reason that the Vegas odds makers are not posting a line as I tape this here on Sunday evening. But Giannis, if you didn't remember, he's pretty good. Antetokounmpo had 44 points on Friday in the big victory against the Cleveland Cavaliers, bouncing back from what it was a really tough game, a bad loss, or not a bad loss to Indiana, but he had a bad performance to Indiana. I think he only had less than 20 points, which is unusual for him, obviously. But in that Thursday or Friday night game, he bounced back with the 14 rebounds and 8 assists in the victory at Cleveland for Antetokounmpo. But they're among the teams that are in the top of the class of the Eastern Conference. They're right up there with the Bostons and Torontos and Indianas of the world as teams that you could conceivably see making the NBA Finals this year. Right now, at 19-9, the Bucks are tied for the second seed in the East with the Indiana Pacers and also tied for the Central Division lead with the Indiana Pacers. And we know as a Central Division rival, this is the second of four games that the Pistons will play against the Bucks. And we know that those games are coming in short order. The first game against the Bucks was, I believe, December 3rd, the other day, basically. And they're going to squeeze all four of those games into the months of December and January. So in quick order, we're going to see them again on January 1st on New Year's Day. The Pistons will be in Milwaukee for a game. And then I believe January 31st, closing out the four-game set with the second game and the last game that these teams will play at Little Caesars Arena. Although maybe they'll play in the playoffs. Who knows? It could be a matchup to watch out for there. So it's fast and furious coming for the Pistons and Bucks meetings this season. So what do you think? We will see who gets out on top. We know the Pistons have been so good for a little while and then so bad for a little while. And what does this Boston win mean? You got this 8-game stretch in December that they've played so far that has been bookmarked with the two teams that I think are going to make the NBA Finals, and that's the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. And those were games, obviously, at home in downtown Detroit. Pistons get wins in both of those games, but lose the six games in between to teams that I predict will not make the NBA Finals. So a little bit of a strange December and a tough one this week with the Bucks and the Timberwolves and the Hornets, but brighter days ahead as the Atlanta Hawks will come in for what should be a layup for the Pistons on Sunday at home before it gets even a nice manageable stretch during the holiday season. You got the Wizards in there. You got Indiana for the first time this season in there, a game at Orlando before the new year comes as well. So some winnable games coming up for the Pistons as the calendar closes, but they just got to get through this week, this tough stretch, Monday, Wednesday, Friday with road games at Minnesota and Charlotte after tonight's home game against one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Should be an exciting game. In downtown Detroit, I will be there. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Give us a follow there. And give us a like on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Rating and review on iTunes. All that good stuff. We appreciate you guys. Give us your feedback on the favorite moment of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Or maybe you just want to send your well wishes. Call 810-666-1546 with that information. But have a great start to the week, everyone. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening.